Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a strange year, hasn't it? I'm recording this in 2021, and we're still not at the end of the current worldwide pandemic. People have been searching for comfort in all sorts of places, whether that's in family, in medicine, or in simply having more stuff. Where are Christians meant to find comfort? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be playing some sermons I've been giving from the book of Isaiah. This book is foundational to the New Testament, and the New Testament authors seem to say that their message is in line with it. So we're going to see what it says, and we'll see where God calls us to find comfort too.
Isaiah chapter 42, verses 10 to 17, says this: "Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. Let the wilderness and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. The Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. For a long time, I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, 'You are our gods,' will be turned back in utter shame." Well, my question for you this evening is, what is it that makes you sing? What is it that makes you sing? What are the moments that make you burst out into song? Now, Izzy and I have been reliving our childhood through our two girls recently. See, with the advent of Disney Plus, we are able to go back and watch all the films of our childhood, and we have the excuse to do it. See, it's for the girls, obviously. Now, I reckon that Disney films, they have two stereotypes that mark them out as being Disney films. The first being that someone can fall in love and get married to someone else in the space of about 5 minutes. The other one is that at every significant moment, there is a song. Whilst I would pastorally advise against the first of those, there is something about the second. There is something about singing at significant moments, whether that's at the sports stadium, whether that's at the patriotic event, whether that's at church. You see, when we turn to the Bible, we find there are a lot of songs. See, embedded in the text are songs at key moments in the Bible story. But the real moments of singing, they come at the moments when God has delivered his people. And that's exactly what we've been thinking about in Isaiah, isn't it? How is God going to rescue his people? Now, last week, we started to see how God would bring about this rescue. And we saw he was going to do it through a servant who looked like an ideal Israel, a Davidic king and a Moses figure all rolled into one. And tonight, we're going to see another part of how God is going to complete that rescue plan. And the way we're going to see that is by looking at the song that we have here. See, in Isaiah 42, verses 10 to 17, the single command is to sing. Look at verse 10 with me. "Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them." As I said, the single command here in this passage is to sing. But who is it who is to sing this song? That's the first thing we need to see this evening. Who is it who's going to sing this song? Well, it's the whole world. Do you see the choir that makes up this singing is pretty big? Have a look at verse 10 to 12 with me again. "Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. Let the wilderness and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. You see, this song, it's meant to be sung from the ends of the earth. It's to be sung by those who go down to the sea, all the way to, verse 11, those on the mountains, from the lowest point, the sea, to the highest point, the mountains. From the faraway islands to the nearest settlements, this song is a song to be sung by everyone. And this rescue, it's going to be bigger and wider than any rescue before. It's going to affect the whole earth. Those two places, Kedar and Selah, they're places that earlier in Isaiah had been swept away by Assyria. But here in Isaiah chapter 42, they're singing, they're joining in this praise. See, this new work of God through his servant is going to be a worldwide rescue. And that rescue, that worldwide rescue, is going to lead to a worldwide song. But as always, we can say slightly more than that. If you look really carefully at verse 10, we get a hint, just one little word. You see, if there is a new song, well, there has to be an old song, right? Right, well, what then is this old song? Well, we hinted last week with a reminder of Moses in the previous section that we might be looking for a new Exodus. And if you're expecting to see that, well, you're spot on. See, what moment in Bible history up until this point has been God's big deliverance? Well, it has to be the Exodus, doesn't it? When God took the Israelites right out of the center of Egypt, he took a weak, a powerless people right out the heart of the most powerful nation on the earth at that time. I mean, if there is a pretty impressive deliverance, that would have to be it, right? And actually that moment, that part of history, it produced what's a song known as the Song of Moses. It's in Exodus chapter 15, if you want to look at it, or here's part of it on the screen. See, as the people, as they stood on the other side of the Red Sea, as they saw the rescue that God had performed, they sang a song. Now, I'm not going to sing it to you. I don't know what the original tune was, but let me read some of it to you. Then Moses and the Israelites, they sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver, he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And that's just the start of the old song. And in many ways, it's similar to the new song we have here in Isaiah 42. But the big point of Isaiah 42, this section here, is that God is going to perform a new Exodus. It will be similar in many ways to the old one, but as we've just seen, it's going to be far bigger. This new Exodus that's going to bring in the whole world is going to deserve a new song, a rescue that requires new things to be said. And this whole song here in Isaiah 42, well, it has echoes of Exodus in it. Verse 13, it calls God a warrior. You see that phrase, it comes straight out of that song of Exodus. Comes straight out of Exodus 15. In fact, it's the only other place in the Bible that calls God that precisely. Verse 14 of this song in Isaiah. Verse 14, this rescue is going to be like a new birth. See, in the Exodus, the people were said to be born by the rescue. They came to be their own people outside of Egypt because of what God had done in the Exodus. And this Exodus is going to be the same. It gives being born again an interesting take, doesn't it? Verse 15, God is going to turn water into dry land. That's the imagery going on there. He's going to lay waste, or more precisely, he's going to dry up the mountains. He's going to make the rivers into islands. He's going to dry up the pools. When else has God turned water into dry land? I can think of two places. Well, one of them is the Exodus. And let's read verse 16. Let's see if you can spot the Exodus language here. Verse 16. I will lead the blind by paths they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. See, unfamiliar paths, darkness being turned into light. These are all pictures of how God took Israel and led them into the promised land. And these are all things that God says he will do again. Verse 13, the Lord will march out like a champion. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and triumph over his enemies. You see, just like the first time, God is the one who's going to win this victory. God is the one who's going to bring this about. Just like the first Exodus, so the second. And notice all the I language there in verses 15 and 16. I will lay waste. I will turn. I will lead. I will turn. See, there's one thing about blind people. Blind people can't lead themselves. They're totally dependent. So do you see what's being said here? God is going to rescue his people again. He's going to rescue his people again through a new Exodus. So when we get to the New Testament, when we get to the Gospels, and we see this Exodus imagery, it's not going to surprise us. When we read in the New Testament about light and dark or God's mighty hand, well, it shouldn't feel like it's out of the blue. God's big rescue of his people will look like, and it will be, a new Exodus, a worldwide new Exodus. And just like the last one, this rescue is going to lead us to sing. It's like a Disney moment, but far, far better. It's a brilliant picture, isn't it? But what's the point of telling Israel this? What's the point of us reading this on a Sunday night? Well, we need to remember that Isaiah is saying this far in advance of it happening. And that's a little bit strange when you really think about it. Isaiah is saying to sing this song before the rescue actually happens. But that's the point. This worldwide rescue, this new Exodus, it's so certain that the song can be sung before it happens. Remember, God is telling his people what's going to happen in advance for a reason. If you've been with us over the past few weeks, you might remember God is saying this to prove that he is the one true God and to show us that the idols are nothing. We get that reminder again in Exodus-like terms, actually, in verse 17. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back in utter shame. See, that sounds eerily like what happened straight after the first Exodus with one golden calf. But it also serves the point here. It is in God and in God alone that this worldwide new Exodus is going to come. When you see it, you can know that God is the one true God. That is the big point here. And the choice is open to Israel. Who are you going to trust to rescue you? Are you going to trust the Lord? Or are you going to trust idols? Well, you could say, well, which part of the Exodus story do you want to replay? Do you want to be Israel in the story? Or do you want to be Pharaoh? Well, the same goes for us, brothers and sisters. See, as we hear these words, are we going to listen to what God is saying through them? Are we going to find our strength? Are we going to find our comfort in God and God alone? You see, Christians are those who have turned from idols, but we can still act as if we follow them. What do we think is going to rescue us? What do we think is going to bring us comfort? Where do we think that we have our strength? See, God is saying that this new Exodus, this new rescue is going to divide. It's going to split people in half. Just like the first Exodus, Pharaoh and his chariots versus God and his people. One ends up on dry ground. The other one ends up submerged. This evening, we should be praying that we would hear Isaiah's message and continue to be on the side that trusts God and so join in this song. You see, on this side of the cross, we can know that God has kept his promise. And so we can look forward to him completing that promise. And that is something we can praise God for in advance.
Well, I hope you found some comfort there. Any feedback can be sent to me on podcast@david-couch.com, and I'll see you next time.